please, to the book of Haggai again. We'll be in Haggai this evening. So good to be back with y'all this afternoon. It was an absolutely gorgeous afternoon, wasn't it? We weren't able to spend a lot of time outside, but even just driving with the windows down, oh, it was beautiful. And I think the sermon this morning was a success because I had people come up to me and tell me they thought I was for Donald Trump, and I had people come up and tell me they thought I was against Donald Trump. So hopefully that facade of whichever one my opinions actually is will remain throughout the remainder of our time. Now, this morning, remember we talked about Haggai. This evening, what I want to do is I want to look at a messianic prophecy in Haggai. You'll learn to love, hopefully, the prophets as I do. There's no section of scripture I love more than the prophets. The prophets are oftentimes difficult to understand. I remember quite a few years ago now, whenever I was first studying through Obadiah, the first minor prophet I'd really studied through, he's the shortest. It was just spinning my mind and just seemed really difficult to understand. I didn't understand what he was saying. And then there were things that just didn't go on. I've come to learn to appreciate the prophets. And one of the things I love most about the prophets is Jesus Christ is on almost every single page of the prophets. We just have to find him. It does tell us in Luke 24 that Christ himself fulfilled all that's written in the law of the Psalms and the prophets. And so as we get to the prophets, we're going to see that there is a lot of messianic prophecy in here. So what I want to do this evening is I want to look at not this one. Is this the wrong one, Jeff? Do I need to keep going? We'll get here in a second. There we go. If you were not here this morning, you just saw the sermon in a total of 5 seconds. So that is our 5-second synopsis. There we go. What I want to talk about this evening is God will shake. Now, this is going to come from a couple of verses, but essentially what I want to do is I want us to try to see what does this actually mean. So the question that I want to pose this evening is, how did God shake the nations as prophesied in Haggai? So what does this mean? Where is it fulfilled? And how did God ultimately shake the nations? As a very quick summary, Haggai prophesies after the return from captivity. You can read Haggai in Ezra 5 and Ezra 6. The people returned originally with Zerubbabel in the first batch in 538, and then about 18 years later, Haggai comes on the scene, and the main message that he gives the people is build the temple. So we saw this morning, the people had stopped building the temple. They'd gotten so preoccupied by their own worldly thoughts that they had stopped building the temple. Haggai then tells them, build the temple. 3 weeks later, they build. Then, as they're building, about a month later, they're facing really bad discouragement. So Haggai tells them, be strong, work for the Lord is with you. And as we get into chapter 2, we're going to see, within this context of discouragement, Haggai is going to give them specific instructions and specific reasons to continue with their work. So I want us to go ahead and look at Haggai chapter 2. Read Haggai chapter 2, the first 9 verses. Haggai 2, 1 through 9. In the 7th month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Yet, says the Lord, once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So here's his message. As the people are facing discouragement, he tells them, fear not, because, verse 6, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And then he repeats into verse 7, I will shake all nations. So let's get the picture here. Fear not, because I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, and I will shake all nations. Now, this is a little bit weird, to me at least. God is telling the people, you work and do not fear all the other people around you, because I'm going to shake the nations. What does that mean? What does this really mean? Why is this supposed to give them such encouragement in their work? Well, as we continue on in the text a little bit, we read, I'm going to shake the nations so that, we read in verse 7, all the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Essentially, what God's saying is this. As you look at the temple, right now it's a pretty puny building. It's not anything in comparison to what Solomon's temple looked like. But I'm going to come and I'm going to shake the earth. I'm going to shake the nations so that the treasures flow in. So get the picture here with me. Have you ever shaken out a rug? There is a rug that Jessica and I have, you know, right whenever you come in the front door, and it just gets really filthy. And so occasionally I'll take it outside and I'll shake it. And then what comes off of it? You see dust just flying everywhere. Whenever I take that rug, it's not me just going outside and, you know, just half-handedly just shaking a rug. You know, whenever you shake a rug, what do? You take that by both hands, you get yourself ready, right? And you shake the daylights out of it. And whenever you shake the daylights out of that rug, what happens? You see dust flying everywhere, dirt's coming off of it. And this is the image God's giving here. I am going to shake the nations so that the treasures, the silver, the gold, they're going to be loosened from the nations and they're going to flow into my temple. So in this case, God isn't loosening up dust mites. God's loosening up the treasures. The treasures that are in the other nations, the treasures that are all over the earth, God is going to come, shake them, they're going to come out and then just flow into the temple. So ultimately what God's saying is, I'm going to make the temple great by shaking it. And then, as you go a little, I'll make one reference to Ezra 1. In Ezra 1, Cyrus gives the edict that when they are to return from Babylonian captivity, this point me to Persia, they're really taking back many of the treasures that were taken. So there were physical silver and physical gold that had returned. So there's coming a greater treasure that's going to come. Let's go over to the end of the chapter. Let's read in Haggai 2, beginning in verse 20. Haggai 2, beginning in verse 20. The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth, to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'm about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms and the nations and overthrow the chariots and the riders and the horses, and their riders shall go down, everyone by the word sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. So again, here's the message. Speak to the governor and tell him, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth in order to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Now, this term shaking in the rest of the Old Testament, it is almost always used as a term of destruction. It's not that God is just taking a nation and just shaking it around a little bit in his hand. But this idea of shaking is really more this idea of a violent shake. And so in this same context of Haggai, the main message that he's giving here is, I'm going to come and I'm going to shake the nations in order that they're overthrown. So here you have a somewhat different image. If you take a snow globe and you shake that snow globe, what do you do? Well, we know the snow starts going around and it creates a nice little picture. If, however, you take something as I have, as Jessica will tell you, I'm very clumsy, and you take that snow globe and you shake it too hard, what happens to that snow globe? You can get the glass to break. You can have pieces fall off of it. It's just not going to be a very good experience. Now, what's God doing here metaphorically? It's not that he's just taking the nations and giving them a nice little toss to get the snow to go up and down. God is going to take the nations, and he's going to take them, and he's going to shake them in order that the kingdoms are going to be overthrown. God's uplifting, and God is just destroying really what's going to happen here by shaking it. So let's summarize what we see here. There's two times here in Haggai, we read of this idea of shaking. Well, what was the shaking going to accomplish? Two things. First, it was going to bring in the treasure of nations, but all this, at the same time, it was going to overthrow the nations. So essentially, here's what Haggai's saying. Work and remember, I'm going to make the temple great by shaking the nations. And when I shake them, the treasures from those nations are then going to flow in, and then my house will have glory, and then the glory of my house will be greater. So it's two ideas that are a little bit paradoxical, in that in one sense, God is destroying and overthrowing the nations, but in the other sense, he's shaking them in order that the treasures may be taken out and then flow into the temple. Well, when is this going to happen? The question I would ask is, how was this prophecy fulfilled? Well, go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, please. When we read in Hebrews chapter 12, the message of Hebrews 12 is this idea of a kingdom that has come. Now, I want to read beginning in verse 25. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they do not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will they escape if we reject he who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have not been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken, that is things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, it says in verse 26, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. You'll notice that that's from the book of Haggai. It's really Haggai 2:7. And then it says in earlier, at that time his voice shook the earth. So there has already been a shaking. Now, really I think the purpose of Hebrews 12, it would take a little bit longer to do a full study of Hebrews to see what all of the different language there means. But the main message that he's saying is this. God shook the nations to bring the Gentiles to the unshakable kingdom of God. Now, we can sit down and go through Hebrews in more depth, and we'll go through Hebrews at some point in the future. But in summary, the main thing he's saying here is, he took the nations and he shook them to bring the Gentiles to the unshakable kingdom of God. Now, let's notice how I got to this conclusion. When we look at verse 25, it says, do not escape the one who is speaking. Well, if you go back to chapter 1, read verses 1 and 2, also to chapter 2, verse 1, the one who's speaking there is Jesus. And that's right in verse 24 as well. Jesus is the one who is speaking. And ultimately, the one whose voice shook the earth was Jesus. And what Jesus did was Jesus shook the earth in order to bring the things, to remove the things that are made, the things that can be shaken, in order to take them to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So here's essentially what God did. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, shook the nations. There's the term used in the book of Acts that they turned the world upside down. And that's what God did. God shook the nations so much that the nations were turned upside down. God shook the nations so much that the nation of Israel is going to be destroyed a bit later. God shook the nations so much that all the national boundaries are about to fall. God shook the nations through Jesus Christ so much that the nations are about to crumble. Now, when you go to the first century, many of the nations don't fall till a bit later. But ultimately what he's saying is this: I am shaking the nation so that all the national boundaries are going to fall and everybody is going to come to my kingdom. It doesn't matter what your nationality, what your ethnicity, it doesn't matter any of that. If you are a human, essentially, God is going to bring you to that unshakable kingdom. Because the thing that's unshakable, the kingdom of God, it can't be shaken. It's eternal. You have to have something physical to shake it. These physical nations are no problem for God. God took the nations and shook them, and now the Gentiles came into him. And as I said, we could go in a lot more depth with that text and see how I got there. But that's ultimately the message of the Hebrew writer. The second thing that I want us to notice is that the treasures are ultimately all people. Whenever you think back to Haggai, Haggai was at the present time referring to silver and gold. But ultimately, when God told Haggai that I'm going to bring in all treasures, the treasures weren't stuff, but it was people. And then, we read from this morning, the temple now, the church, has more glory because all the treasures across all the world have now been brought into his kingdom. So how did Haggai fulfill the prophecy? Well, the first way that we see was that he fulfilled it through bringing in the Gentiles. Well, let's also go to Matthew chapter 24. When we look in Matthew chapter 24, this is the scene where ultimately Christ is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But in Matthew 24, it's going to use just a couple of terms from Haggai 2 as well. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. On to verse 13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, ultimately, in this section of Matthew 24, he's talking about AD 70. But the message from this is clear. Nations were destroyed in order to bring all people to God's kingdom. When you get to AD 70, the nation of Israel's destroyed. The records are destroyed. The temple's destroyed. Overall, the Jewish nation's destroyed. And God's destroying the Jewish nation, and he's going to bring down other kingdoms, as it says in verse 7, in order that all people in all nations will come to him. That's the end goal of this. So what then is the point of this? Well, twofold. First, you remember with me back in Haggai, the shaking was going to accomplish two things. It was going to overthrow kingdoms, and it was going to bring all nations to him. How did God accomplish this? Well, two ways. First, God shook all the nations, and all the national boundaries are now broken, so that all people from all nations now can come to his kingdom. In a second way, the treasures now are being shaken out from the earth and being brought in from all the earth. God is shaking us away from the earth. He's shaking us away from the world. He is shaking us away from the things that are made, from the things that are sinful, in order to bring us to his kingdom. Now, I don't think Haggai had any clue at that time that that's ultimately what he was talking about. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12 would give us that idea, that Haggai most likely just did not fully understand the full ramifications of what he was referring to. But the message of what Haggai spoke was far greater than what he could imagine. Because ultimately what God wanted to bring to him was not stuff, but people. And ultimately what God was doing was he was shaking all the nations, not just to destroy them, but so that all people from every nation could then come to him and be a part of his kingdom. God's message was far greater. But now I want to take you to the part where I hope it gives you some cold chills. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, this is the scene of the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 50. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook. And the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints whom had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, brethren, that just gives me cold chills to read that. Because ultimately, when Haggai said that God was going to shake the nations, how did God shake the nations? Whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and the earth shook. And I think the message then that's clear is that God is physically shaking the earth, but the true shaking that we read in Hebrews 12 was going to be far greater than some earthquake. It was going to be a shaking of nations, a shaking of people, a shaking up of all that people believed in order that people could come to Christ Jesus. And I want us to understand the true ramifications of what Haggai was talking about. When Haggai said, there's coming a point that God is going to shake the nations, God did it whenever his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary. And then after Jesus died and the gospel spread to the world, the nations were turned upside down. National boundaries fell. Jew, Gentile, ethnicities all came to Jesus Christ. And as people came to Jesus Christ, the earth was shook. The treasures were brought in. And then the nations were turned into turmoil all by the death of Jesus Christ. Now, did Haggai know what he was fully talking about? Probably not. But now on this side of the cross, we recognize that God ultimately had a plan far greater than some physical temple. His plan concerned his son. So what then are the practical lessons from us? Well, the first one, I hope it doesn't sound corny, but just all of us are treasures to God. And when you go back to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7, and the scripture reads that I will shake the nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I want us to understand what Haggai was really talking about. What Haggai's saying here is that God is going to shake the nations so that these treasures are loosened from the world. Whenever these treasures, these people, are shaken from the world, when these treasures are shaken from the things that are made, they're going to leave the world and then brought into the eternal kingdom of God. And then, I think it's even cooler about this, when you look at verse 7 and it says, I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Ultimately, that's talking about Christians. It's showing that whenever God brings these treasures in, then God is going to use these treasures to fill the house with glory. God himself is going to use people to dwell among men. God is going to use people to dwell on this earth through the church of Jesus Christ. And I don't want us to underestimate, brethren, there's many people that need to hear this message that they are treasures. One thing at least that I do forget at times is that there are some people, and perhaps many people that we interact with on a daily basis, who feel no self-worth at all, who feel like they are worthless, who feel that no one loves them, who feels that they have nothing to contribute to humanity, who feel that their life is meaningless. I met a man a couple months ago. It was a few months ago now, I guess, up in Lafayette. who had been homeless, who had been divorced. His wife had left him. It just was an awful situation. And he got to a point where he honestly said, I didn't feel anyone loved me. I didn't feel that I could love. I didn't feel that I was worth anything to anybody. I didn't feel that I could offer anything to anyone. And brethren, there's so many people like this who just need to be reminded that ultimately all of us are treasures to God if we allow him to shake us. God can take off the things of the flesh. God can take off the things of sin. And whenever God shakes us, it leaves within us something far greater. It leaves within us the new creature, the new man. It's only God that can shake off the old man and leave on the new. We just have to allow him to do it. The second message I would offer is this, that God is going to shake us all. When you look at that Hebrews 12 passage, there is a point in which he's also saying in verse 25 that God is going to shake all nations again. It says in verse 25, if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So there is coming a point when God is going to shake all who've ever lived, and God is going to shake on the day of judgment and leave within us an eternal body. The things of the flesh will be truly taken away. The things of this earth will truly be removed and we'll be left with his eternity. So the question for us is this. Are we going to allow God to shake us now or are we going to be shaken on the day of judgment? Being shaken's tough. I mean, it really is. To allow God to take us and to shake us, ultimately what that requires is he's shaking off sin. He's shaking off the things of this earth. He's shaking off the things that can be shaken to leave within us the things that can't be shaken, the things of the Spirit, the things of God. And then he puts us into his kingdom. He puts us into his church. And that leaves within us an eternal body, an eternal hope, an eternal love. That's our choice. Being shaken is not easy because it requires putting off the things of the flesh. But if we don't put off the things of the flesh now and the things of sin now, God will do it on the day of judgment. So what then's our choice? To allow God to shake us now or to be shaken on the day of judgment? Now when you go back and you think about that rug, it's violent in a sense to those little dust mites as they're shaking off and you see them going into the sunlight and you just shake it. But brethren, just as we can get a rug in our hands and we can shake it, that's exactly what God has done with the world. He has shaken it. He has turned it upside down. He has taken away the things of sin to leave within the earth an unshakable kingdom. Do we desire to be a part of that kingdom? Once more in Haggai chapter 2, it tells us in verse 6, that for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Get out your songbooks, please. As I said, we have a choice to be shaken now. We have a choice to be shaken on the day of eternity. If we allow God to shake us now, he can shake off the things of sin and we'll be taken into that unshakable kingdom and live with him for eternity. If we're shaken on the day of judgment, it's not going to be a good outcome at all. The choice is ours. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel call this evening, please come forward now while we stand and while we sing.